जनेन सता सतो मृतिं तात्मनीयेषा विराम विपनम विदं
मरन्ति
मरन्ति
उपरिशन्ति
उपरिशन्ति
अनुपितः
अनुपितः
विपनम ऋतम स्मरन्ति उपदिशन्ति आरूपिताय
विपनम ऋतम स्मरन्ति उपदिशन्ति आरूपिता
त्रिगुणमया पुमान
पुमान
विद्या
विद्या
यत्
यत्
बोधकृता
बोधकृता
त्रिगुणमया पुमान विदायत अबोधाकृता
त्रिगुणमया पुमान विदायत अबोधाकृता
वै
परेण
ततः
ततः
परत्र
परत्र
स भवेत्
भवेत्
अबोधार्थे
अबोधार्थे
वै न ततः परत्र स भवेद् अबोधार्थे जनिम असता सतो मृतिम उतात्मनि ये चाभिधाम विपनम ऋतम स्मरन्ति उपदिशन्ति आरूपिताय त्रिगुणमया पुमानिति विदाय लबोधाकृता वै न ततः परत्र सबले अवबोधार्थे ततो मृत्युतात्मनि ये चाभिधाम विपनम ऋतम स्मरन्ति उपदिशन्ति आरूपिताय त्रिगुणमया पुमान इति विदाय बोधाकृता वै न ततः परत्र स भवेद् अवबोधार्थे अरूपिताय IH and there's a dot below H.
So it says IH, is that a misprint?
Yes, print.
Yes, misprint. AIH.
AIH. Jalim Masata Sato Mritim Utatmani Shavidam.
Jalim Masata Sato Mritim Utatmani Shavidam.
Vipanam Mritam Smaranti Upadishantita Arupitai.
Thank you.
Hari Shyam Sita
Hari
destruction.
Buddha.
Also.
Atmani.
In the soul.
Ye.
Who.
Cha.
And.
Vidam.
Reality.
Vipanam.
Vipanam.
Mundane business. Vritam. Real. Smaranti.
Smaranti.
Declare authoritatively. Upadishanti. Teach.
Arupitai.
In terms of illusions imposed on reality.
In terms of illusions imposed on reality.
Three.
Guna.
Of the material mode. Mayaha.
Maya.
Composed.
Puman.
The living entity.
Hidda.
Realistic conception.
Yes, which?
Abodha.
Abodha.
By ignorance. Krita.
Krita.
Created.
Vahi.
In you.
In you.
Na.
Not.
No. Tataha.
Tataha.
To such.
To such.
Paratra.
Paratra.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Taha.
Taha.
That.
Ignorance.
Can exist. Avabodha.
Avabodha.
Total consciousness.
Total consciousness.
Rase.
Rase.
Whose composition? Translation by the servants of the Divine Vaishnava, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Supposed authorities who declare that matter is the origin of existence, that the permanent qualities of the soul can be destroyed, that the self is compounded of separate aspects of spirit and matter, or that material transactions constitute reality. All such authorities base their teachings on mistaken ideas that hide the truth. The dualistic conception that the living entity is produced from the three modes of nature is simply a product of ignorance. Such a conception has no real basis in you, for you are transcendental to all illusion and always enjoy perfect total awareness. Please repeat after me. Supposed authorities who declare that matter
is the origin of existence,
that the permanent qualities of the soul can be destroyed, that the self is compounded of separate aspects of spirit and matter, or that material transactions constitute reality. All such authorities base their teachings on mistaken ideas that hide the truth. The dualistic conception that the living entity is produced from the three modes of nature is simply a product of ignorance. Such a conception has no real basis in you. For you are transcendental to all illusion and always enjoy perfect total awareness. Purport. It's a 6-page purport, but I'll just read 1 or 2 paragraphs. You can read it. It's very big, a lot of points. I might cover the 6 types of philosophy, so you can go on to the next one. The true position of the Supreme Personality is a sublime mystery, as is also the dependent position of the Jiva soul. Most thinkers are mistaken in one way or another about these truths, since there are countless varieties of false designations that can cover the soul and create illusion. Foolish conditioned souls submit to obvious illusions, but the illusory power of Maya can easily subvert the intelligence of even the most sophisticated philosophers and mystics. Thus, there are always divergent schools of thought propounding conflicting theories concerning basic principles of truth. In traditional Indian philosophy, followers of Vaisheshika, Nyaya, Sankhya, Yoga, and Mimamsa philosophies all have their own erroneous ideas, which the personified Vedas point out in this prayer. The Vaisheshikas say that the visible universe is created from an original stock of atoms. As Kannada Rishi Vaisheshika Sutras state, Nityam Parimandalam, that which is of the smallest size, the atom, is eternal. Kannada and his followers also postulate eternality for other non-atomic entities, including the souls who become embodied and even a supreme soul. But in Vaisheshika cosmology, the souls and the super souls play only token roles in the atomic production of the universe. Srila Krishna Vayana Vedavyas criticizes this position in his Vedanta Sutras. According to this sutra, according to this sutra, one cannot claim that at the time of creation, atoms first combined together because they are impelled by some karmic impulse adhering in the atoms themselves. Since atoms by themselves in their primeval state, before combining into complex objects, have no ethical responsibility that might lead them to acquire pious and sinful reactions. Nor can the initial combination of atoms be explained as a result of the residual karma of the living entities, who lie dormant prior to the creation. Since these reactions are each jiva's own and cannot be transferred from them even to other jivas, what to speak of inert atoms? So the coming paragraphs further, they describe the other types of philosophy. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravam Vicharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschakale Shri Tarni Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nagayate Girem Yat Kripa Tamam Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adhyaya Shri Vasati Gauravati Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Before speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, especially the senior Vaishnavas, so that I can glorify Krishna and speak something for the benefit of the audience and for my own purification. So we see in this chapter, prayers of the personified Vedas. You can see with a bit of a complex purpose. I had to really put my head into figure that one out. And we see in the previous verse, which Chiranjeev Prabhu spoke on Wednesday, the day before, that verse explained that everyone in this world has been recently born and will soon die. So how can anyone here know him who existed prior to everything else and who gave rise to the first learned sage? So in other words, it's saying that the previous verse says that, you know, that the persons who are born after the creation, how can they know the Creator? For the example is given just like a person is born in a family and he has his great-great-grandfather or great-great-grandmother. So he cannot know about them unless he was present in that time. So similarly, the example is given that all living entities take birth in this world and they die. And by their material method, they try to understand the creation and the source of the creation. But because everything is temporary and they themselves are also temporary, they cannot find out about the absolute truth. Unless the absolute truth comes in, tells about himself directly or through his representative. But by our own means of speculation, it is not possible. We see also like in science also, so many scientists, they are speculating about the origin of life. There are so many theories, and these theories keep changing. One day there is one theory, then after a few years some other theory comes up, and they contradict that theory. So, and Prabhupada in the Krishna book, he explains that we all are compared to modern. We are all called moderns. Moderns because actually the modern can't understand the ancient. We call moderns because we have recently been born, like maybe 20 years ago we were born, or 50 years, or maybe 70 years, and we will be leaving this body soon. It's just a matter of a few years. So the creation is explained like this, that there's Krishna. From Krishna's expansion is Lord Balaram. From Lord Balaram expands Lord Sankarshan. From Lord Sankarshan expands Mahavishnu or Karna Dakshay Vishnu. And from him expands Garbha Dakshay Vishnu. From Garbha Dakshay Vishnu, he's lying in the causal ocean. So Karna Dakshay Vishnu creates the material universes. From the breathing of his pores, the material universes get manifest in seed-like form, then they develop. So they say the duration of those universes is one breath of Mahavishnu. And then Mahavishnu, he enters as Garbha Dakshay Vishnu in each and every universe. And from his navel grows his stem. And on top of the stem is a lotus flower. And on that lotus flower, Lord Brahma takes birth. And Lord Brahma is called unborn because he hasn't taken birth like we do in this material world. So he was born directly from Krishna. Or to be more precise, Garbha Dakshay Vishnu. And from Brahma come the four Tejas, or the four Kumaras. They are Sanat, Sanatan, Sanandana. Anyone know the Sanat Kumar? Thank you. And also the other demigods like Marichi come take place. And by the combination of these four, and by these two groups of demigods, you can say the four Tejas or the demigods like Marichi, the entire human race is created, and so many other species come into being. Prabhupada explains this in the Krishna book. And we human beings also come from them. So then just imagine, you know, this is how we go back to Krishna. So how is it possible for us human beings who are so insignificant? And also we human beings are on actually there's living entities on all planets, and we are on this tiny planet called Earth, and in this country called Australia, and in this state of Victoria, and suburb of Albert Park, which else above. How it is very difficult to understand the source of everything unless we approach the right authorities. If we try to speculate, it is very, very difficult. It is actually not possible. And you know, the various processes, like the processes of karma kanda, creative activities, or jnana. In jnana, basically, in jnana yoga, they're trying to discriminate between Brahman and the material world. But by all these processes, and mystic yoga, in mystic yoga they meditate on the super souls within, Paramatma, to try to understand Krishna. But these processes, it is very difficult to understand Krishna because they are temporary. We see everything in this universe itself is also temporary. It is created at one point and then it is dissolved. And all living entities within this universe, they are put into a state of deep rest. And even material time becomes unmanifest. And even the material elements, gross and subtle. But only devotional service is always manifest. Either here or in the spiritual world, it is always manifest. So only by the process of devotional service it's possible to know Krishna. And we see, you know, not everybody takes to devotional service, and people are trying to understand about the source of creation in their own ways. And this verse also points out that supposed authorities, and Prabhupada explains what are those supposed authorities which try to understand the absolute truth. And Prabhupada says they try to understand the absolute truth by mental concoction. In other words, by the ideas concocted by the mind. And Prabhupada explains they all try to establish their own opinion. Like, in other words, they say, my method of understanding the Supreme is correct. They all say mine is correct. But later they all contradict each other. But then again, they agree, but okay, all these methods, they are ultimately leading to the same goal. So they are all correct, because they are ultimately leading to there. So we can follow any of these and reach there. But we know none of them are valid, because they are created within this temporary material world, by the temporary mind. And the living entity has four defects, Prabhupada explains in the Upanishad. That he has a tendency to commit mistakes, cheat, the senses are not perfect, and is always prone to illusion. So, when the living entity is prone by these four defects, whatever he produces will also have taints of these four defects in them. So, all these six philosophies they are defective, they are not perfect. So, here the first one. The first one is the Mimamsa philosophy. And the Mimamsa philosophy was propounded by Jaimini Muni. And what basically the Mimamsa philosophy says, it recommends pious activities, or other words, or prescribed duties of one's varna and ashram. But these days we see even that is not there. So if one follows the duties of one's varna, or whether one is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he is considered to be pious, because the goal is sense gratification in accordance with the regulations of the scriptures. Or pious activities like doing charitable activities, sacrifice, opening hospitals, this and that. And they say that the Mimamsa philosophy is that performing pious activities, it leads to the highest perfection of life. But as you know from the Bhagavad Gita says that when one performs pious activities, they promote us to the higher planets or to the heavenly planets, where one can enjoy practically a lot of sense gratification, where the standards of living are very high. But that also has one problem. It is compared to a credit card. We have a credit card, you know, we have say we have $10,000 limit. So we have some credit in that. So we can enjoy as much as that $10,000 can facilitate our enjoyment. So when that money is out, we come back to square one. So it is like that. When our pious activities get exhausted in the heavenly planet, the living entity again comes down to this, to the earthly realm, where life is very short and it's temporary here also. Where life is very short, and again he has to build up pious activities. So this cycle keeps going on, where the living entity goes up, goes down. Because ultimately, you know, the living entity has to come down from the heavenly planets. And we see that the pious activities, when one follows pious activities, they free the living entity from the modes of passion and ignorance. When the living entity comes to the mode of goodness, because without being on the mode of goodness, one cannot go to such higher planets. But we see when we perform devotional service or Krishna consciousness, we don't have to endeavor to develop the mode of, to get rid of the mode of passion and ignorance. Simply by performing devotional service, we automatically come to the, at least to the mode of goodness, and from there we can jump onto the Shuddha Sattva. So the activities which we perform in this Krishna consciousness movement, they directly take us to the spiritual plane. And one does not have to endeavor for any other path of coming to the mode of goodness. And we also see like But the problem with this Mimamsa philosophy is, like they say, they ignore Krishna. That's why it's called impersonal. Because they consider duties to be supreme. And a good example of this is, when Krishna wanted to stop the Indra Puja during the in the lifting of Govardhan in the pastime, and he was telling his father, Nanda Maharaj, that they shouldn't offer the sacrifice to Indra. And then he was quoting various types of philosophies to convince him. And he also quoted the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, in which he says, you just do your duty and then the rain will come automatically. In other words, the supreme, whatever law is out there, it is dependent on our duties. So the duties are supreme. So if we just perform our duty rigidly, then the creator of the system, it has to reward us with the results. So this is the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, in which the creator is neglected, or Krishna is neglected. The duties are taken to be supreme. But then we see the next kind of philosophy is the Sankhya philosophy. Or Prabhupada also calls it metaphysics or the material scientist philosophy. Because in the Sankhya philosophy, they study the cosmic manifestation by their own invented scientific methods. So they, like we see the scientists, they invent their own methods to understand this cosmic manifestation. And we can go to university, there are so many courses which can teach us how to understand this world better. But the problem is they don't recognize what is the source of this creation. They only get stuck in the cause. The cause is this is the cause, and they only get stuck in the cause. And they get stuck in the reactions of the various material elements. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in 9.10, he says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharachara Hetu Nena Kaundaya Jagat Vipari Vartate. Krishna says that this material nature, which is one of my energies, Krishna has multifarious energies, and this material world is one of his energies, is working under my direction. So Krishna says that in other words, this material nature is mine. It is one of my energies. And under my will, it is working. In other words, I'm the controller of this energy. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So we see there is Krishna, who is in Golok Vrindavan. He's eternally enjoying his pastimes. He's engaged in his various pastimes. And through the agency of Mahavishnu, Krishna creates this material realm. And actually Krishna or Vishnu, they never get in touch with material nature. Mahavishnu simply glances over material nature, and then material nature is impregnated with living entities, and the creation starts. And interesting point is that Krishna never comes in touch. It is through the agency of Lord Shiva that Krishna creates this, that Mahavishnu creates this cosmic manifestation. The example is given of when milk comes in contact with tamarind, it becomes yogurt. So the position of Lord Shiva is like that. The Lord Shiva is not a jiva tattva. He's not an ordinary living entity. But at the same time, he is not Vishnu Tattva also. He is somewhere in between. Because Lord Shiva actually comes in contact with material nature. And what is the nature of material nature? It is in the mode of ignorance. So Lord Shiva comes in touch with material nature, and under his direction, Durga Devi, she's the controller of this material nature. So that's how the creation takes place and the maintenance takes place. Whereas Krishna, he's totally aloof from it. All Mahavishnu has to do is just glance at it. That's why I just said Vishnu or Krishna never comes in touch with material creation. He's always aloof from it. And we see this material manifestation, it produces so many kinds of living energies, moving, non-moving. And we see that the conclusion of this Sankhya philosophy, or this atheistic philosophy, is that they say that the world is temporary and illusory. And because the world is temporary and illusory, the cause is also illusory. The cause has to be illusory. So this is the defect of this kind of philosophy. And then, or ultimately they're just voidists. They're saying, you know, there's nothing out there. It's all void. It's all illusion. The next philosophy we see mentioned here is the Gautama and Kanada philosophy. You know, that's the purport we read over there. And in which, again, this is similar to the Sankhya philosophy, in which they study the various causes and effects of very minutely they study. And they say that, you know, life originates from atoms. That atom is the foundation of this universe. But we know from Bhagavad Gita that the atom has life because Krishna is present within the atom as the super soul. The super soul, Krishna as the super soul, is present within all living entities, including the atoms. And Krishna says, "Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarva pravartate iti matva vajante buddha bhava samanata," that I am the source of everything, both the material and spiritual world. Everything comes from me. So we can see from here that the source of the atoms is also Krishna. So that the atoms don't manifest by themselves. So that's like sometimes scientists say, this world, the creation took place because of a certain chemical reaction, or these chemicals came in place, but they cannot explain what is the source of these chemicals, or what is the source of these atoms. But from Shastra we understand that Krishna is the source. So, you know, and then the next kind of philosophy is direct impersonalism, or that's like founded by Astavakara or Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya appeared recently, so he propounded this philosophy that they accept Brahman or the impersonal effulgence as everything, as the all in all. That they say that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the light. That the light is the Supreme Absolute Truth. But the problem is they cannot see what is beyond the light. Example is given of the sun. If we at noontime we go outside and look at the sun, all we'll see is the rays. Because the sun's rays are so powerful, you can't see the sun. So the impersonalists, they say that the rays are all in all. And that everything is coming from the effulgence of Krishna. That this whole material creation is sustained on those rays. Which is true. But, you know, Krishna says, Mata Parataram Nanyat Kinchid Asti Jananjaya Mayi Sarva Midam Prota Sutra Manigrahama. Krishna says, O Arjuna, O conqueror of wealth. He says that there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests on me as pearls are strung on the thread. That Krishna says that he is the supreme truth. That actually he is the source of these rays. Just like example is given of like just like pearls are strung on a thread. Like on a thread, just like we see this garland. If you look at the garland, we can't see the underlying cause, which is this, or the thread which holds the flowers together. So similarly, Krishna, he holds the whole cosmic manifestation together. That this material cosmos is situated in the impersonal effulgence, and that effulgence is emanating from Krishna. And even in the Isha Upanishad, there is that prayer that, O my Lord, please clear the effulgence of yours so that I can see your lotus face. And then the most dangerous theory or philosophy is the Mayavad theory. In which they say that that the incarnation of Krishna or Krishna himself, that when God appears in this material world, he assumes a material personality. Or in other words, he has a material body. And Krishna calls them Mula. He says, Avajananti Maha Mula, Manushin Pranam Ashtam, Paramahava Majananto, Mamabhuta Mishra. He says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form of life. They do not know my supreme nature as the supreme lord of all that being. That Krishna says that, we see there are so many incarnations of Krishna, they appear. Like, Krishna appeared as Lord Ramachandra. He appeared as Krishna himself, as Balaram. He appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But ordinary people, they consider him to be an ordinary man like himself. So what does that mean? That if God's or Krishna's body is made out of material nature, that means he's just like us. So we are also God. That we and Krishna are the same. So there is no difference. So we are also ultimately God. So that theory is, at this point of time, we are in illusion. But we can become God once we get rid of this illusion. But then the question would arise, if you are under illusion, then illusion is more powerful than God. That should be supreme. So that's the defect with that kind of philosophy. And we see that Krishna is God because he has a spiritual body, Satchidananda Vigraha. And that when he comes to this, that when Krishna descends, he not only acts as an ordinary human being, but he performs pastimes which are extraordinary. So just like if you read the Krishna book, it's got so many pastimes which any mundane person cannot perform. Like we see at the age of 7, Krishna lifted the golden hill with his one finger. And an ordinary person cannot do that. Or sometimes when Krishna does this, they say, oh, Krishna is an extraordinary personality, but still his body is made up of the three modes of material nature. And we see Krishna performs so many pastimes. He bewildered Lord Brahma. He manifested Vishnu Murtis, an unlimited number of them. And we also see that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because when he descends to this material world, he remembers past, present and future. He knows past, present and future. And he is not prone to forgetfulness. Whereas the living entity is prone to forgetfulness. Just a good example of this is when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. He told Arjuna, I spoke this science millions of years ago to the sun god, Vivaswan. And you were also present at that time on that planet. But you do not remember, whereas I remember. Because Krishna hasn't changed bodies. Krishna doesn't change bodies. Whereas we, the living entities, we change bodies life after life. So, and the nature of this material world is forgetfulness. So when we change bodies, we forget. Just like we can't even remember so many things in this lifetime, what to speak of previous lifetimes. Like, if somebody asks us, what did you do 1 year ago exactly at this time? We cannot tell. Whereas Krishna would know. Not only about us, but about himself also. And we are also see Krishna knows the future. So sometimes people say, if God knows the future, then your life is predestined, isn't it? But because Krishna is supremely intelligent, he knows all the future possibilities that can occur to us. He knows all the possible choices we can make. He's got so much supreme intelligence, he can figure that out. He knows all the different choices he can make and what the result will be of all those choices. That's why Krishna knows past, present and future. And basically what's happening in this chapter is that Maharaj Parikshit, he asks Shukadeva Goswami this question. The question is that since the Vedas deal with the three modes of nature, you know, that we see that the Vedas, they are divided into three parts. Majority of it deals with Karmakanda or fruitive activities. Then some portion of it deals with Jnanakanda, difference between matter and Brahman. So in which there is speculation. okay, Brahman is not this, not this, not that. So ultimately they come to the conclusion of Brahma. And of Brahman. Krishna says that it takes many, many lifetimes to come to the conclusion that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then some portion of the Vedas deal with Upasana Kanda, or worship of the, or Bhakti Yoga, or worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they say, if the Vedas deal with the three modes of nature, how is it possible to describe the Absolute? Sometimes even we come across this point in a preaching that, you know, we try to preach to people and they say, how is it possible that, how are you sure that these scriptures are correct, you're studying? Because they've been produced by a man, or they've been written down by a person. Sometimes you go on books, people challenge us in that way. That, how do you know this is correct? That, how do you know that this knowledge was spoken to, like, Brahma wrote it, right? Or Shukdev Goswami spoke. But he was a person of this material world, and he's temporary, as we described before. He's got a temporary mind. So, whatever they produce will also be wrong. So, this cannot be the correct conclusion. But we see, like, but by the process of devotional service, if we connect ourselves to the Parampara system, or to Krishna, then the knowledge we receive will be perfect. And this point is very hard for people to understand, that if you connect yourself to the Parampara or Krishna in the disciplic fashion, and if the knowledge is presented as it is without subtracting or adding anything, it is perfect. And that knowledge will act. And Krishna himself, he recommends the Parampara system. So, Devam Parampara Pradhu.
Paptam.
Devam Parampara Paptam.
Himam.
That this, this change that, what is the translation?
And the Supreme Sanctions has received.
Through the chain, through the process.
Chain of the Sanctions, yeah.
And the same thing is understood in the
course of time.
In the due course of time, it
was lost. Sessions, right.
So we see that Krishna, he appears to this material realm in order to re-establish that disciplic succession. So he spoke the Bhagavad Gita millions of years ago on the sun planet, but because the chain was broken, he spoke it to Arjuna again. And Prabhupada says in the purport that, you know, we might say that, you know, Krishna spoke this knowledge to Arjuna, but we are not so fortunate that Krishna spoke it to us, so how can we realize Krishna? But if we connect ourselves to the Parampara, or if we follow these teachings as it is, accepting them from a bona fide spiritual master, then we are directly connected to Krishna, and this knowledge will act. So this is in response to that argument, but it is very difficult to convince them that. And especially we see the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called the Amalam Purana. Nigama Amalam Purana. That it is the essence of the Vedic literature, or it is the matured fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And we see that the tree of the Vedas, that the tree is compared to the Vedas. And the essence of the Vedas is the Vedanta Sutra. And the essence of the Vedanta Sutras is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Vedas mainly deal with Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, most of the part Karma Kanda. But the Srimad Bhagavatam deals directly with the glories of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And simply by adopting the process of purification, and simply by adopting the process of purification, one can re-establish his dormant Krishna consciousness. And that process of purification has been very nicely explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which begins by hearing and chanting. Actually, there are 35 items, like, of the process of devotion service. The first one is accepting a bona fide spiritual master. And the second one is taking initiation from him. Third one is serving him. Fourth one is inquiring from him and following his instructions. And fifth one is following the previous acharyas. So if you follow this process, in the beginning with hearing and chanting, it cleanses the desire, the dirt from the mirror of the heart. And by that process, we can revive our dormant Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that all these different centers in the world of this Krishna consciousness movement, they are actually meant for two purposes. So that we can always remember Krishna and never forget him. So all these principles of devotional service, they are dependent on these two principles. Never to forget Krishna and always to remember Krishna. Yes? Let's say something.
Actually, from past 10 minutes, my mind is running and my mind wants to ask one question. Why Krishna has created this world, this universe, and if he is everywhere in everything, so why everything is not perfect? If Krishna is perfect, then everything should be perfect, and why he created this world? And if we want to go to the Krishna, we are doing these services, we are following the spiritual path. If Krishna is in us, if Krishna is within us, then why we are doing to go to Krishna? Means Krishna is a different entity from us, or means lot of thoughts are running into the mind, so...
Okay, very nice question. That if Krishna is within us, why are we approaching Krishna?
And if Krishna is everywhere, then why we are not perfect? If Krishna is everything, then why is not everything perfect? Or why he has created the world? If he is everything, if he can do anything, then why sin and blessings?
Okay. First of all, we have to understand that Krishna is a person. Yeah, he's a person like you and me. But he is not an ordinary person, he is the supreme person. Because Krishna is full in six opulences. That he has got unlimited riches, unlimited strength, unlimited
beauty,
renunciation, knowledge, and fame. So that's why he is supreme. And he is omnipotent, That Krishna is present in his own planet, Golok Vrindavan. And he is present everywhere else through his energies. It's called Achintya Bhairava Tattva. That Krishna is a person, but he is pervading the entire creation by his energies. The example is given of Ford. There's a person called Mr. Ford, and then he has this company called Ford, and every car you see the label Ford. But when you look at that car is not Ford, you know. The car is not a person, that's right. But the car is of that person. So similarly, Krishna is present as a person and he has so many energies, and this material, this world is made up of his energies. So Krishna is present through his energies. And then also Krishna is present within every living entity, but that living entity is not Krishna. Is described in this body, there are two souls. One is ourselves, the living soul, and one is the super soul, Krishna. And Krishna is sitting within ourselves, witnesses all our actions. And he awards us the results. Whatever we desire, Krishna awards the results. So the living entity within our body is not Krishna. It is still a servant of Krishna. And what was the other question? How this world is not perfect.
Why he created this world?
Okay, why? That is a very good question. He created this world so that we can enjoy separately from him. Because it is described, we were in the spiritual world of Krishna, in Golok Dham.
If we want to enjoy ourselves, apart from him, so why he is calling us back? Why he is telling, come back now?
So you can enjoy unlimitedly. Because here everybody is thinking they are enjoying, but they are not really enjoying.
But there are around 84 lakh species.
8.4 million.
8.4 million species. So, after 8.4 what? If I am not going to Krishna, after 8.4 what? Again I am going to repeat from 1. I don't want to go to back to the Krishna. I want to just enjoy. So what will happen after 8.4 million?
Okay. So, what happened? Krishna knows all our desires. Krishna knows what kind of desires we can have, because he is supremely intelligent. So he has created 8.4 million types of species spread all over the universe according to our different mentalities of enjoyment. So if we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, Krishna awards us these 8.4 million species. And the purpose of this creation is that we can enjoy separately from him. But simultaneously, another purpose of the creation is that Krishna gives the process where we can come back to him. That's why there are temples, the Vedas are there, these books of knowledge are there, to ultimately bring us back to him. Here it is not perfect, because actually it is perfect. Krishna has designed it in a perfect way to be imperfect.
Planned obsolescence.
Yes.
They kill cars that don't last forever.
Yes. So that we get on purpose. So that we buy new cars.
Yes.
Just like this model of IO, they built it so nice, now they stop making it. Because it doesn't, it just lasts a very long time. It's got so many features which others don't have. And you only need a software to connect to the computer. So it is designed in such a way to frustrate us, this material world. Because real happiness is in relationship to Krishna. Example is given of the finger. When the finger is separated from the body, it will be mutated. It can't enjoy on itself. When it is connected back to the body, it can enjoy. So, if we only feed the finger, we can't enjoy. But if the finger feeds the stomach, then it will get nourished, and all the parts of the body will get nourished. So, similarly, if we serve Krishna, we'll be satisfied, and all living entities will be satisfied. And the purpose of this material world is to frustrate us and bring us back to Krishna. That's why this is the thankless task of Maya or illusion.
Can I have one more question?
Yes.
In 8.4 million species, we have one birth of human being.
No, there are 400,000 species of human beings.
8.4.
In those 8.4 million, 400,000 are human species. And in that also we can take many human births. And only in the human form of life you can realize who God is, who Krishna is. In other forms you don't have that faculty. So we get human form after so many, many, many lifetimes. And if we simply waste it, it is the biggest mistake we've ever made. Because we go down into the material pool and again we come to the human form. After
so, the people, those who are from different religion, those who don't follow Krishna, they are into the human being, and once they will die, so we cannot guarantee that they are going to get the human being birth, and after a very long time they will get the human being birth, and
no,
they
no,
might become to the Krishna.
No, not
is that?
If those who are following other processes of elevation, certainly they get human birth, if they follow it properly. As it's mentioned, if they follow as it's mentioned, they actually elevate you to the heavenly planets, or at least they take birth on human planets.
Okay, they are
on human birth. They take a birth in human form of life.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other question?
Example of the credit card.
Yes, sir.
Is that your example, or did you hear that from
someone? I heard it from someone.
Where did you hear it from?
There's a CD called Science of Self-Realization. It's by some devotees living in Bombay.
Because I'm thinking, with that example, if you have a credit card that has a $10,000 limit, you spend the $10,000, but then you've got to pay $10,000 back.
Back,
yeah. You're giving $10,000.
I've heard a different example given, is you earn money, you've got it in your bank account,
Yeah, it's not a perfect example.
I used to give the example when I used to give classes that sometimes I think all the correct categories that exist were invented. And I used to give the example of, so you save up your money, and then you go on a big world trip, like these old people, you know, they spend their life savings, and they've got $20,000 and husband and wife go on a huge world tour on a cruise, and they visit all these places they've always wanted to visit, and then they come back, all the $10,000 are gone, the tour is over, and it's all over, so they've had their cruise some, good fortune, they've spent it. So that probably is a better example than the credit card. Because credit card,
you have to pay.
Those that have your plans, you actually engage in prize activities, and as a reward for those prize activities, you go to the end of the plans. And then when the enjoyment is over, like the Bible uses, Kshine Kunye Maja Luka Vishanti, you again come back. So your holidays are
over. That's a much better
example.
Yeah, that credit card you have to pay back, whereas the other one you come back and then you
start. You don't have to pay anything back. You've already done this passage beforehand.
Yeah, and then you go there. Thank you, Bobby. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
I want to comment. When you are saying Krishna at the age of 7 years, he lifted the golden hill. So the point is that we don't understand the whole scripture. Actually, Krishna, according to Gita, we were speaking on yesterday, he lifted the golden hill on the nail of his left and right finger. So you can see how powerful he is. And then his mother, Yashoda, asks, Lala, is it very heavy? He said, no, it's like a cotton wool. So, mother said, all right, then why don't you turn it around? And he started turning it around. There is strength. Because we don't know his strength, therefore we don't know to serve him. And if we don't know to serve him, we can have mission. That's what Prabhupada says, Bhaktiya Mama Vinayati. So, unless we start.
It can only be known by the process of devotion.
He gave a very nice class, and we have faith in him. And once we start giving faith, then we serve him, and serve him our maximum efforts, and whatever we have. And then we can teach him. Of course, hearing is the easiest process, what Mahaprabhu said in Kali Yuga. We can't do those Ashtanga Yoga and other things. That was even impossible at the time of Arjuna, 5,000 years back. So we have to come back to our chanting, improve our chanting, vibration, we can hear very attentively. And then you can take a point.
Thank you. Okay. Can I start showing the Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.